What's up, everybody? You're listening to No Coast Cinema here on WGN Plus. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago. I'm Tom Hush.
And I'm Connor Cornelius.
And we're very psyched to have you here. Psyched. I like that word.
I agree. I agree that you like it, Tom. You've said it before, and you'll say it again.
Well, it's in my word bank. I'll keep that in the wheelhouse.
Yeah. It's interesting to me how if you switched the silent P in psyched with the second letter, which is, of course, an S, it's spiked.
I'm spiked to be here.
Me too.
Well, we've got a fantastic show coming up for you today. Don't forget, you can go back and listen to our bonus episode on the Oscar nominations. That's up right now. We're going to be having a fun poll to see what bad movie Tom has to watch. Yeah, okay. The loser of our Oscar bet has to watch. That's going to be over at facebook.com/NoCoCinemaPodcast. All our lists will be up there very, very soon, so you can keep us honest. I'm sticking to my picks.
Yeah, I feel good about mine.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I would say I'm spiked for my picks.
Oh, jeez. Nice callback.
Thank you.
Good for you. Did you go to Second City for that one?
Yeah.
Take a few classes?
I took 5 classes, and that was what I walked away with.
Congratulations. Well, for right now, we're going to move into our interview for this week, and we are going to be talking to a fantastic illustrator, 2D animator. He is also the creator of a webcomic called Multiplex, and also he is adapting that into a short and web series. The short, separate from the web series, but it's called Multiplex 10. The short is out today, as well as the first episode of the mini series, and we're so excited to be talking to Gordon McAlpin. How are you doing, Gordon?
I'm spiked to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We're very glad to have that hashtag on the rails now. It's happening.
That's No Coast Cinema endorse right there. That's going to take off.
So, Gordon, let's talk a little bit about yourself. As I said, you're an illustrator, 2D animator, creator of Multiplex, comic strip that ran for over 10 years. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you. It started in 2005, and it just concluded last April. Over the course of those 12 years, the characters got older and wiser and smarter and things like that. I wrapped up the storyline with those characters and immediately turned back the clock on them and did an origin story, I guess, of sorts with Multiplex 10. So they're 18 again and super dumb and immature. I'm that version of the characters.
And so after doing it for 10 years and deciding to make this, I think you said it was a self-contained short, this 12-minute short mm-hmm. that's coming out today.
Yep.
Was there something about the characters that you felt they had run their course in the webcomics, that you wanted to explore something, another facet of their character in, you know, through animation?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, partly just being able to do Multiplex, retitled, of course, but Multiplex 10 as an animated thing. I can do a lot of different jokes, movie parodies. Obviously, sound is something that you don't have in webcomics.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the characters, when they got older and wiser and smarter, it kind of informed the sort of comedy that I could do, the sort of I hate to use the word drama because it is a comedic series, but it did get mildly serious every now and then, and there was some substance, I hope, to the comic that, you know, I, in order to make that feel real, I needed to keep it a little bit more grounded. And so doing the animated short and probably actually more so in the web series, by having them young and animated and not really dependent on continuity, I can do a lot more kind of out there humor in a way that, you know, isn't going to undermine the dramatic sequences in the comic. I have a little more freedom here to get weird.
That's the best place to do it, animation.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, what has been some of the biggest challenges you've seen from going from this web comic to turning it into something animated? I mean, as you mentioned, you've got sound now, you've got motion, you got to be thinking in a few different ways with making this into an animated short. How's it been?
Well, you know, I've done some freelance animation, storyboarding, and a little bit of, you know, frame-by-frame 2D animated stuff for clients. But this was my first proper animated short, and being literally the only animator on it for a 12-minute short was daunting. So, I mean, it was a big project for one person. Honestly, the hardest part was messing up my shoulder last summer and needing to take about a 3-month break right in the middle of production. But it, you know, in terms of writing it, I also really needed to carefully balance, you know, making a story that would resonate with both the fans of the comic, but also reach out to new you know, new viewers. Hopefully people who aren't familiar with the comic can watch it and still get something out of it. You know, there is going to be this added depth to it, I think, for the comic readers, because they know what happens, sort of what happens next. There's actually a separate continuity there. You know, there are a few differences. Some characters appear in the short that didn't get introduced until later in the comic and things like that. But I don't want to bore anybody. It's a separate continuity, and I kind of lost my train of thought there.
Well, something I wanted to ask.
making it work for both new people, new readers or viewers, and readers of the comic was kind of a balancing act. And I brought in the credited is co-producers, but I brought in a couple of other people to the writing room to help me kind of balance that, I think. And I think we did a pretty good job.
And that was something that I wanted to ask, because I'm assuming when you made Multiplex originally, it was just you writing everything. But now that you have this big team around you, and you, like Tom mentioned, you're adding these new dimensions to the program, are people who are fans of the comic going to recognize the characters, or are they going to be, have you added elements to the characters that add even more depth to them?
I think it's a little bit of the latter, but mostly the two main characters, Kurt and Jason, are pretty intact. One of the characters, Melissa, she kind of, I think, is a little actually better defined in the short than she was for a very long time in the comic. I was always a little disappointed in the comic for not utilizing Melissa and Becky as well as I could, the main female characters. So, you know, I brought in the co-writer, Dana Lurie Shaw, to partly just because she was funny, but also to kind of help keep me on track with making sure that the arc for Melissa and Becky, even though they are supporting characters in the short film, just making sure that their arc was a little more substantive than just, you know, the girlfriend and her nerdy friend, stock types. And I brought in my friends Joe Dunn and Tom Brazelton, both of whom have created movie-themed webcomics in the past, just to kind of help it be funnier. You know, like Joe and Tom both have kind of a wackier, cornier sense of humor that I think helped make Kurt feel like a co-lead versus the comic, where sometimes Jason, because he is the closest to me in sensibility and sense of humor, he kind of always ended up taking the spotlight whether I wanted it to or not. So, I mean, that's mainly what, you know, the writer's room was for, was to kind of help me make this an even better realization of my kind of vision than I could do on my own.
I want to roll back a little bit to the beginning of Multiplex as a webcomic. So you started that in 2005. What inspired you to do this movie theater workplace comedy strip?
Originally I'd wanted to do an animated short about a movie theater, but I didn't know how to animate anything at the time. So I kind of just dusted off that idea after a while and turned it into a comic strip. At the time, I was doing a kind of a nonfiction comic strip called Stripped Books. I would go to book-related events or comics-related events and kind of adapt some author's talk into a comic strip, and you know, that never got very many readers, but I took it to its own website at one point, and I wanted to make a backup feature that I could do more frequently. I could do the strip books maybe like once every couple of months, and you know, that's not enough to get people to keep coming back all the time. So I was like, you know, maybe a gag strip. And I was like, hey, I could do that with the movie thing. So I dusted that off as a backup feature. I'm literally the only person on the planet who would think that people would be less interested in a gag strip about a couple of nerds talking about movies than in a comic strip adapting book-related events. That's just me, I guess. But yeah, so it was first created as a backup feature for strip books, and it almost immediately got more popular. And so I ended up starting to just focus on that. At first it was literally just me making up dumb jokes. And then they tangentially had something to do with movies. But, because I am a huge movie nerd, it also became this like forums for me to talk about not just movies, but also how we talk about movies. And so, you know, Kurt and Jason are kind of like the two combating sides of my personality. Kurt's the guy that likes just dumb action movies and dumb comedies and just enjoys things on kind of a visceral level. And Jason is the guy that's like, you know, this is really dumb. I should really be looking for something better than Fast and the Furious 7 or whatever. And actually, I love the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Greatest example.
seven is so much fun.
Yeah,
come on.
I like 7, but that's 7.
I personally, I think 4, 5, and 6 are the high point in the series. They're fantastic.
Those three are the high point.
Yeah.
Dead tie.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
It reinvented the franchise.
Yeah.
Was that when The Rock joined?
Yes.
I don't want to do too much of a disjoiner, but
no.
Right.
So I really like what you said, that Kurt and Jason are these two, they're kind of two sides of the same coin, the two parts of your personality that you're grappling with, and they serve as this, I don't know, forum to how we talk about movies. I really like that idea. How do you feel that now in 2017 the strip is over and you're moving into the animated short? What has changed from 2005 to 2018 about the way we talk about movies? Has anything changed?
I think it's more kind of where and how we in a technical sense how we talk about movies. Like YouTube was not, you know, this amazing home for like film essays, video essays about film, you know, things like Every Frame is a Pain or Every Frame a Painting, whatever it's called, Movies with Mikey. There are a lot of just brilliant video essays about and I guess video reviews. There's a lot of great criticism out there. There is also a lot of incredibly just bad, lazy criticism.
Right.
Where, you know, a guy sticks his phone in front of him and does a trailer reaction. And I'm definitely going to be making fun of that stuff in Multiplex Dead.
Oh, thank God. I've been waiting.
I cannot imagine why people would be interested in watching somebody else watch a trailer.
Yeah, it's
a whole
bizarre
culture. That's a whole culture now.
And some of these get massive views. It's very foreign to me. And so, like, me grappling with the changing culture of film, it kind of ends up in ended up in Multiplex. You know, when Multiplex started in 2005, you know, film was still a thing. Almost everything is digital now, and so, although I didn't detail that super in depth, it was something that that changed from the beginning of the strip to the end of the strip, and it was kind of interesting that it sort of became this time capsule for that transition from you know, film to digital, and that's, I think, changed the way that that we consume film. Netflix obviously is a powerhouse now, so a lot of the smaller movies I mean, obviously, this is a much slower, longer process. But in the last 10 years, the movies that we get in the theater tend to be more spectacle driven. And I think a lot of that is because, well, TV is taking over a lot of the space for smaller stories, smaller and low budget stories. Obviously, things like Game of Thrones are breaking into the big budget spectacle stuff too. But you know, you don't see that many indie dramas and indie comedies making a huge splash in the multiplex. Pardon the expression, in the mainstream movie theaters, you know, across the country. I mean, they'll obviously, movies like Lady Bird are get into art house cinemas and repertory, well, I guess not repertory theaters, but small theaters. Chicago obviously gets all of the indie stuff, but you know, the middle of nowhere, Kansas, probably not so much.
Right.
And that didn't used to be the case, although, you know, they're probably... are more screens there than there used to be? I don't know. I'd have to really like look at the data on that. But you know, the kind of movies that end up in theaters it has changed over the last 10, 12, 15 years too, for a variety of reasons, partly digital, partly Netflix, partly, you know, just the changing nature of the film industry.
So there's no shortage of cynicism for your characters to drive content.
for Jason, I like to think that Jason is a cynical character, but that Multiplex 10 in itself is not cynical, because I think more often than not, Jason's actually the butt of the jokes. It's kind of me making fun of how I used to be younger and snobbier as a kid. Well, I mean, not making fun of me being younger, but just the snobbier part, definitely. I was a bit of a snob when I was young, and so a lot of Multiplex is like me making fun of the most worthy target that I can think of, which is, you know, myself.
It's great to have characters like that, because you can take the piss out of things that upset you, and you can also take the piss out of people like that at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have to ask what I would assume is an obvious question. Did you work in a movie theater?
I think every single interview I've ever had has asked that. No, I never did. A buddy of mine who is the namesake for Kurt Bollinger, and I would say even to some extent the inspiration for his character. My buddy Kurt worked at a movie theater, the Willen Olds 14 in Peoria, Illinois, which is kind of where I grew up. And for a number of years, when he was a manager there, I worked this kind of weird second shift job doing production artwork for blah, 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 blah. But I would go there and hang out waiting for him to get off his shift, and I'd see movies all the time. I'd, you know, get to know the people that worked there. And so it was sort of like I worked in a movie theater, except that I didn't work it. I didn't get paid. and I also didn't do any work, but that's actually not that unlike a lot of the people that work at movie theaters.
No, I can attest. I do want to say I myself work in a movie theater now, and I read Multiplex religiously during its run. I think right I on. Discovered it somewhere around like 2007, 2008. Definitely didn't work in a movie theater then, but I was very much drawn to the conversation, because as someone coming into my own, discovering, I don't know, how to talk about movies, how much I really enjoy movies, and aside from just like, this is fun to do, I really loved Multiplex in that facet. And now looking back as a movie theater employee, I am still struck at how accurate you really got it. It's very, you, just all this, it's almost like all the same jokes me and my coworkers are making in this movie theater. So, in the writing process, how did you, I mean, it's a tough question to ask because it's just creative process, but what did you draw on aside from your friend who worked in the movie theater in order to get right these characters right and get the feel of the movie theater right?
You know, a lot of it comes from just having worked crappy jobs. Like, I was a bartender and I worked at restaurants and things like that. And so a lot of the customer service related stuff is just from, you know, working any customer service, any service industry job, you deal with the same kinds of idiots or jerks or whatever, and some wonderful people too. but you know, you deal with a lot of the same people, because if somebody's a jerk at a restaurant, they're going to be a jerk at a movie theater too. So you just, you also, after Multiplex started, you also get a lot of readers coming up to volunteer stories. And so you know, there's a fine line between just saying, showing something happens that, you know, something that happened in a movie theater that's crappy, and actually turning that into a joke. And beyond that, even turning something into a joke that's actually also a comment on movies. Like one of the ones that popped out of my head was there was a strip where somebody asked Jason to, I don't know, get him some popcorn, and he's watching 300. And Jason turns around and he starts going to make the popcorn in slow motion because he's making fun of 300. And the guy's like, could you speed that up a little bit? He's like, that's what I was thinking the entire time I saw the movie.
Oh, my God. just fun little jokes. It's the only way you get through the fact that you're seeing the same 5 minutes of every movie every day. You know, it's right. you really did capture that, I think. And I, you know, a crappy job, you know, a job like that is a service industry is service industry. It's almost mm-hmm. like you don't have to work in a movie theater. You could be, as you said, a bartender and understand right. the same basic core of what it's like to be working that service industry job. I want to get into your animation work here for Multiplex 10 and also for that the web series that's going to come out alongside it. Not, you know, separate things, but. Mm-hmm. Working in animation, was there any sort of what were your inspirations for your animation style?
Well, when I first started Multiplex, you know, I just wanted to explore something with digitally illustrated comics, and I also kind of had it in the back of my head that I wanted to do a Flash animated thing eventually. I didn't realize that was going to be 12 years later. But, you know, South Park was definitely an influence, although I did want to kind of aim for slightly better animation, at least better drawing, even right. though the animation itself is probably not that much better. But cut paper animation by René Leloux, he did Fantastic Planet and Light Years. Those don't really look anything like Multiplex, but that kind of similar style of really flat illustration and flat animation kind of influenced me a little bit. After a while, I started becoming more influenced by just kind of editorial illustration. Illustrators kind of pretty broadly used now. At the time, I think the kind of flat color illustration style that I was most influenced by kind of just turned up in women's magazines as editorial illustrations, like fashion magazines and you know, Cosmo and whatnot. And I don't know why that was, but that's kind of where I first noticed it and where I first started getting drawn to that flat color style. And now there's a lot of people that do it, and a lot of people do that with digital painting and Photoshop too, so it's not exactly vector animation. Mm-hmm. Those were kind of my influences, I guess. I don't know about my animation style. I think it's just kind of me getting influenced by the cartoons that I watch and like. Rick and Morty, and I like the new DuckTales. The new Tangled series looks really good, although I don't actually watch it, so I don't know.
A Disney TV show about a Disney property. I mean, it looks good, and it's nice to be to pull from different sources, because you know it would be easy to be like, oh, I'm only influenced by, say, like Rick and Morty and Adult Swim style stuff, really surreal, but you get some of that, and then you also say you're pulling from something like DuckTales that's like a little bit more classical in its intention, although I will say the new DuckTales it really speaks to me from a visual
show,
sound.
I watch it too. When I was bringing people onto the project, voice actors and especially the sound people, one of the things that I said most often was, I want to approach this like live action. I want the pacing to be like a live action film. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a pet peeve. It works for some shows, but a lot of animation has a very deliberate pace to it, and it's very like almost staccato. Like it's everything slowed down just a little bit more than it would be if people were actually speaking these lines. And I think part of that's just to kind of milk the running time. But also, you know, it's shows that are targeted for kids kind of do that too. Mm-hmm. For whatever the reason, though, I just wanted to kind of avoid that and treat it exactly as if it was a live action short that just happened to be animated. And so the pacing is all influenced by live action stuff, TV sitcoms, and obviously film, of course. But I wanted it to feel more like a live action thing, even though it gets a little wacky every now and then. There's a couple of shots with basically like anime lines in the background. Those are obviously more inspired by animation than live action. But I do think in terms of like, you know, camera setups and that sort of thing to try to make it feel grounded and more like a film, because it is, you know, it's about film, as well as being, you know, an example of film. So I want it to kind of touch on these kinds of tropes and ideas in not just what they're talking about, but how it's made. And the music certainly plays into music and sound design certainly plays into that.
So you're obviously a huge fan of animation, and you're also a student of cinema and everything. And mm-hmm. I guess what I'm curious is, when did this love for animation begin? Because it probably started somewhere before you had all of this, you know, all of this working knowledge of tropes and, you know, like the types of animation that you wanted. What was the impetus to get involved in your educational path and what ended up leading you here?
I can't remember a time that I didn't love animation. When I was a kid, I would scan the TV guide pages because those were a thing when I was a kid. and I would just look for anything that said animation and I would watch it. And probably like the most kind of early visceral reaction I had to an animated thing that wasn't just a kid's cartoon was I saw one summer on HBO, there was a movie called Warriors of the Wind, and I was like, I've never heard of this. And I watched it, and what I didn't realize, and only realized many years later, it was a kind of a bastardized edit of Nausicaa of the Valley of Wind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By Hayao Miyazaki. And, but, you know, even in its sort of truncated, you know, edited down and heavily rewritten state, you could still see that there were no bad guys in this story, which was really unusual for, you know, in American animation, American kids shows, there's always a clear-cut good guy and a bad guy. But in Nausicaa, there was like moral gray areas. Both of them were just kind of working towards their ends, and that to me, like, I was in fifth grade, I think, and I still recognized this, and it just blew me away. And that was probably the first time I started thinking of animation as like a legitimate storytelling form. And not to say that I was like some super smart, you know, fifth grader or whatever, but
a precocious young man, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
you're identifying the gray area narrative. That's, I mean, I don't know if I was doing that at fifth grade.
I also begged my dad to take me to Chariots of Fire and Gandhi, so I was a weird.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm old, if that didn't tip anybody off, because that was, you know, early 80s. But I can't remember when I wasn't enjoying animation. And because I was always into comics, I think anybody that's into comics also has an affinity for good animation, too. And so I wanted to do Multiplex 10 as an animated thing before I even wanted to do it as a comic. So, you know, it was always kind of in the back of my head that that I wanted to do animation. It just kind of worked out that, I did it as a comic. And you know, most of that was just logistical. Like,
I mean, it's not easy to do animation, you know. Yeah. It takes a lot of time. I mean, yeah. How long did you spend on this short alone?
It's hard to say because, like I mentioned, I messed up my shoulder and had to take like a 3-month break. And we'd also written the script over the previous year, so we were fine tuning and tweaking it and stuff. And I took a break for grad school at one point, but I think probably beginning to end, if I just factoring in the animation, probably about 3-4 months. I can do a decent minute to 2 minutes in a couple of weeks, I guess. And some of that was also designing all the backgrounds, which for like the web series now, since I'm doing that, a lot of that's already kind of, you know, done.
Right.
I'm recycling backgrounds. Certainly the characters, Kurt and Jason, are already drawn, although Jason's costume is a little different because he actually works at the movie theater in the series. It's set after the... after the short film, but yeah, having those setups because it's flash animation, not drawn with a pencil, kind of helps speed up the process a bit. Although anytime there's a new background and a new camera angle, it takes forever. So.
Right, and I think that's something that people don't realize is even in this time of digital animation where things can be done at a pretty fast pace, it still takes, I mean, you said, you know, 3 to 4 months to do 12 minutes.
Right.
And I think that's what really fascinates me about animation is the pure dedication. That's not to say other forms of cinema don't require a level of dedication, but animation, I mean, can take years and, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of man hours. Mm-hmm. Do you think that animation is doing well right now with people, or are we kind of, I feel like sometimes we're stuck in Pixar.
I think that it is sad that, and certainly American animation, like if it's not 3D CGI, you know, made to look like three-dimensional forms, you know, it can't get greenlit. It's weird to me. Like, do you remember the opening sequence of Kung Fu Panda where he's talking about the whatever they Furious Five?
That
was all like really flat 2D animated stuff, and it was my favorite part of the movie. It was gorgeous, and then all the characters kind of turned into these round, huggable, you know, fuzzy animals. And I still love the first Kung Fu Panda. But that first sequence, which was, I believe, directed by Jennifer Yu Nelson, the director of the second movie, that was just gorgeous. And I would love Hollywood to make some big budget animation that didn't kind of lean on making things look all round and Pixar-y. DreamWorks has a distinct style, and some of their movies are beautiful and fantastic. I love the How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Right, me too.
Yeah. And anybody that's actually read the comic is kind of groaning because I did a lot of strips about How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, I do remember, wasn't it Jason had this crazy love affair with How to Train Your Dragon?
Yeah. That was actually a really fun kind of semi-unscripted moment, I should say. I knew I wanted to have him just go insane for a movie that just didn't really fit his kind of movie snob character, because he needed to have this moment where he realized that sometimes film is about emotions. It's not all like, you know,
it's not all Criterion Collection, you know,
art and criteria. Yeah. And when I saw How to Train Your Dragon, I was bawling like 5 times in the movie theater. Sure. I was like, that's the movie that I'm going to do that story arc with. It just, you know, because I loved it so much, it kind of worked. I think that turned out pretty well in terms of how it kind of changed his attitude about the film.
Well, and reading the comic myself, it changed my attitude, because early on, you know, I was very much wanting to identify with Jason, because I was like, yeah, this guy's edgy. He's not afraid to say, like, the hard thing. Like, I still to this day really love to grill people on Forrest Gump And part of it is because I don't like Forrest Gump, but also, I don't know, sometimes I get a little bit of a thrill out of it, and it is, you know, it's petty.
Oh, he's but, saying it.
Yeah, exactly. But I really loved that particular arc, I guess, because it reminded me that to be a fan of films, you have to feel something, and it can't just be trying to lord it over everybody else that you have the best taste. And it got me to see How to Train Your Dragon, and I absolutely loved it. So I guess I have to thank you for that one retroactively.
Thank you. You're welcome, I guess.
That's why we had you on, was yeah, because that was the big moment.
Okay, goodbye.
I want to ask you, off mic, we talked about that you spent about 10 years here in Chicago, and you called it, you know, it's a home for you. It's a place that you were here for a long time and really got to experience. Tell us about your, I guess, feelings about Chicago. When you were here, how did it feel to be a creative person doing illustrations? You started Multiplex while you were here in Chicago, or at least it was running by that time.
No, I started it there. I mean, I had the idea for it in Peoria.
Right.
But, you know, one of the things about living in a big city is that you have so many other creative people around you that kind of energize you on that level. When I was in Peoria up until I was like 25, I always had it in my head I wanted to draw comics. But I was always that guy that talked about drawing comics instead of actually drawing comics. Because I didn't know anybody else who was doing anything like that. I knew some musicians, mm-hmm. but, you know, they were all in cover bands, and I didn't know any other writers. I didn't know any other artists. So I never had that kind of social pressure, I guess, to do anything creative until I moved to Chicago. And I started writing movie reviews for Gaper's Block, and then I started writing book reviews and doing strip books for Book Slut. And that's when, like, I kind of got my first creative ball rolling, in terms of making something that was, you know, mine, was strip books. And then obviously Multiplex, after that as the supposed backup feature.
Yeah.
But once it was on the internet and it started getting a bit of an audience, I realized that I could also get that same sort of social support, creative social support from the internet too. But you know, when I was, you know, in 1998, I couldn't get that in Peoria at all. So you know, moving to Chicago and then, of course, you know, having the internet become a thing really helped encourage me to keep working, having that kind of instant validation to being able to, you know, post a comic strip and then, like, you know, 30 seconds later somebody's like, that was great, or that was the stupidest thing I've ever read in my life.
The two sides of the internet.
Or whatever. Yeah, gotta love the internet.
Well, and I mean, Multiplex has been incredibly successful. You have three collections in print, and Multiplex There and Back Again, one of the second collection, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That won the 2014 Independent Publisher Book Award for graphic novel and drawn book humor cartoon in that category. it's a very specific category.
It is.
I was like, I thought it was going to end after graphic novel. It just kept going.
No.
But still, it's been incredibly successful, and you have a huge following.
How about huge?
I'm going to talk you up, you know, because I think you deserve it, Gordon. I really do. I'm so excited to see Multiplex 10. You're going to be in a film festival, right?
Yeah, a couple. It's going to be at the Door County Short Film Fest in Sister Bay, Wisconsin, on February 17th, I believe, is when it's going to screen. But it's also going to be part of Geek Fest's kind of touring film festival. Geek Fest does screenings and panels of some feature length stuff and some short films. The exact program kind of depends on the festival or the convention that they're at, but they do them at comic book conventions across North America. A couple in Canada, they might do one in Mexico, but 10 or 11, I think, is the current scheduled count. And so the first one of those will actually be the same weekend at the Long Beach Comic Expo, and I believe Multiplex is screening on the afternoon of the 17th. So it's going to be at a couple of places on the 17th. It's also going to be available on demand at Vimeo on demand. Starting, you know, well, today. It's actually out now. And there's going to be a few other kind of theatrical screenings, I believe. You know, a theater in the Lyric in Fort Collins, Colorado is going to be playing it. And I think at some point we have to figure out the specifics. The Somerville Theater here in Somerville, where I live right now, is going to be playing it at some point, too.
Fantastic. Well, are you going to make it out to any of the screenings?
I'm going to try to make it to some Geekfest stuff once they're a little closer to my coast. I can't fly out to California for that. And hopefully, you know, we'll get some other festivals that'll also be, you know, worth flying to, and or will fly me out. Hopefully, eventually, I'll make it to one. And you know, if anybody listens to this and manages a theater and wants to show it, they can get in touch with me. I'm happy to talk about the movie at a screening if they fly me out.
Bingo! I mean, this is your connection right now. You can talk to Gordon about getting Multiplex 10 screened at your theater. You know, request it by mail. Do they
or carrier pigeon?
Yeah, maybe you should have a text line like send Multiplex now to 555-8526.
We can add that in graphics if you'd like.
Yeah, we'll make the commercial for you. Well, Gordon, thank you so much for having a chat with us, calling us all the way from Boston. Where can people follow you on social media?
I am Gina Kalpin on Twitter and I think Instagram, and also Multiplex 10 on Twitter and Instagram. Multiplex 10 on Twitter as well. Facebook, there's the Multiplex 10 page. You can subscribe to the web series on YouTube at youtube.com/c/Multiplex10. Etc. And of course, multiplex10.com is the home for all things of this new animated version of Multiplex.
Fantastic. Remember, everybody, that short and the first episode of the web series are out today. You can go take care of all that now. The short is available for rental or full purchase, and then the web series is on YouTube. You can subscribe to it. Just go back and listen to what Gordon said. Follow him there on YouTube. Gordon, again, thank you so, so much. Hopefully we'll get to see you soon.
Thank you for having me.
All right. This has been NoCo Cinema here on WGN Plus. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago and all around the world. I'm Tom Hush.
And I'm Connor Cornelius.
And we will see you next week.